and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House sought today to clarify President Biden's comments on Trump supporters and garbage. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
Just to clarify, he was not calling Trump supporters garbage.
A judge in Pennsylvania today sided with the Trump campaign and extended the deadline for voters in Bucks County to request a mail-in ballot. Earlier, Secretary of State Al Schmidt on election security.
Nonpartisan election officials are doing their jobs across Pennsylvania, and they're working very hard to ensure we have free, fair, safe, and secure elections.
The Biden administration is sending more envoys to the Middle East to try to reduce the violence in Gaza and Lebanon. The State Department's Matthew Miller.
We do ultimately want to see a ceasefire, and we want to see a diplomatic resolution that allows civilians both in Lebanon and Israel return to their homes.
On Wall Street, the Dow is off 91 points. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Fire danger is still high with the warm weather and dry conditions. The town of Rome is reminding people of the dangerous wildfire potential. The entire state is still in high fire danger, with many counties, including Wood, Portage, and Adams, in high fire danger. There are options to dispose of your yard debris safely, but fire departments are asking that you please do not burn it. Portage County Solid Waste is reminding folks that gas is not recyclable. They encountered a serious safety issue when three gas cans with liquid fuel still inside were improperly disposed of. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but the recyclables were soaked in gasoline, which presented a significant fire risk. Please remember that household hazardous materials cannot be put in with regular recyclables. You need to schedule an appointment to properly dispose of those types of hazardous waste. If you need your rifle sighted before hunting season begins, you can have that done for free in Port Edwards. The public sighting in days will be November 9th, 16th, and 17th, all from 9 to 3. It will be at 3350 Range Road in Port Edwards. They'll have targets and shooting benches available and coaches to assist you. The sight-in is safe, fast, and phone-equipped. Wisconsin has a hard time retaining teachers. Data shows that 4 out of first 6 years of teaching. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley proposed $59.5 million in new investments aimed at recruiting and retaining Wisconsin educators. Under the proposal, stipends would be provided to eligible student teachers to help cover expenses and reduce debt, a support program for new educators would expand, and other measures to reduce barriers would be examined. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers face a new Iowa quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. When the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa Saturday night, it'll be against a new quarterback. Brendan Sullivan, expected to be the starter after Iowa's Cade McNamara went down with an injury early against Northwestern last weekend. Sullivan led Iowa to a 40-14 win, scoring 37 unanswered points, and was asked what he'd like to improve on against Wisconsin.
Like everybody else, there's a lot to improve on, whether that's passing, whether that's running, I think decision-making as well. I think just adds another element to be able to run the ball, but definitely a lot of film to go back and look at and learn from.
Badgers head coach Luke Fickell now facing Sullivan at quarterback.
There is a different skill set, and so you got to be aware of that. And so just to make another little challenge, I don't think it's going to come up there before the idea that this is going to be a physical, tough game. And if you can't outmatch or match their physical toughness and mental toughness, that it won't matter who's a quarterback.
Baseball, game 5 of the World Series tonight in New York. The Dodgers lead the Yankees 3-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Showers and thunderstorms roll in this afternoon, and some could be strong, especially tonight, bringing some vicious winds and some heavy rainfall, where 1 to 2 inches of rain is not out of the question. High temperatures today hover in the mid-70s and fall to the low 50s tonight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is up for grabs in Iowa City. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour continues from beautiful Wisconsin Rapids and the parking lot of WFHR. Reed Gale and Trigvy Olson and myself join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, October 30th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to speak with our friend Trent Miner, Wood County Clerk. We're going to talk about Wood County and voting in this area in election night. Right now, though, we have on the phone with us Technical Sergeant Tyler Kenmar. And Tyler is here to talk about the U.S. Air Force band coming to central Wisconsin. Tyler, first off, thank you so much for your service, and thank you so much for putting up with my questions and being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
I want to get into this concert with you, Tyler. This is a fun, awesome, exciting concert. The United States Air Force Band of Mid-America coming to Mitchelson Hall, UW-Stevens Point Arena on November 10th, 3 o'clock show. We're going to give you the details of how you can get tickets or reserve tickets if you'd like coming up. But before we do that, I'd like to go rewind a little bit and go back and go into the history of the U.S. Air Force Band of Mid-America. Do you know much about this, Tyler? Can you get into some of this with us?
You know, to be honest, I'm not sure how far we go back exactly, but we've had bands in the Army Air Corps preceding the Air Force back when Major Glenn Miller was heading up the bands, kind of making it famous in the jazz world and among pop culture at the time, and then just transitioning into the Air Force itself. So the bands have been a long-standing part of military tradition, and we are located at Scott Air Force Base in Illinois. We're just across the river from St. Louis, and we've been doing just all kinds of music, ceremonies, connecting with people around the world, probably as long as the Air Force has been around in one location or another, although I couldn't tell you the exact date on when the band was formed here at Scott Air Force Base.
I appreciate that. And that's about what I saw from the history of it, too. I don't think that there's necessarily some exact history, but it's certainly something that it feels like has always been a part of our Air Force, is doing something similar to this, if not a kind of organized thing like this. Now, the purpose of something like this, Tyler, can we get into why you guys are doing something, an event like this, and why you do this throughout the country?
Yes. So our mission statement as the Air Force Bands is to honor, inspire, and connect. So through music, we honor those that have served and come before us, inspire future generations of airmen, and connect with communities around the world. So we're mostly used to connect with all these communities, bring good PR to the Air Force, give back to everyone that has served. And in certain instances when we are deployed overseas, or we also have bands stationed across the globe, making these connections with, I suppose, allies and enemies alike, trying to open the door for our ambassadors to go in and talk with other countries, and being used as a soft power in that way.
It's a part of our military that we don't get to focus on or talk about nearly all that much, but it's something that highlights to many of us. I myself come from a military family. I know many of our listeners out there do as well. And for a lot of us that have kind of grown up around a lot of this stuff, we understand some of the layers and levels to it. But it's good to explain, get into some of that, and I appreciate it. It's also noteworthy, I think, the other side of that, Tyler, and the good PR and the goodwill it can create for the band members, for the Air Force itself, not just the people playing, but the people that are supporting this.
Oh, absolutely. Playing any type of events we may have, various Air Force bases, playing for our deployed troops, just trying to give back and bring a little slice of home to those that are in harm's way at any given time.
You know, when it comes to the individuals, the heroes out there that sign up and join our military forces, you're doing this for so many good reasons. To be able to add on to those reasons, being able to do something like this, whether it's entertaining your fellow troops or your communities around our country or anything, it gives one more added reason, one more added bonus to our service members. And certainly, as you touched on before, the PR end of this, where we are always looking for good members to join our services and reach out to them. Certainly even to people that can't join or that are older or maybe have already served. We want to continue to promote our Air Force and our military, the branches of our military, and put goodwill out there in our country. It's an interesting note that you bring up around the rest of the world, too. That's something, again, that we don't always get a chance to touch on or think about, the importance of that. That's also some goodwill and great being created by this band.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I see it as our objective that, you know, if we are doing our job as well as we can, hopefully, you know, we can avoid conflict. The military is a necessary power we have to defend ourselves and our allies around the world. But I mean, if we could create friendly connections with these other nations, it wouldn't even have to come to that.
Well said.
I see us playing a small part in that.
Yeah, well said. Tyler, what's the kind of music that the audience is going to be able to hear on November 10th when you guys head over to Stevens Point?
Yeah, so we are called the Shades of Blue Jazz Ensemble, and we are a group of 13 active duty musicians. And we'll be playing kind of an eclectic mix of things for the audiences. We've got a lot of vocal jazz standards, some selections from the Buddy Rich Big Band, a lot of patriotic works, and even a jazz arrangement of a popular Sting song. So I'm sure there'll be something for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. What you're talking, and I should journalistically mention, my favorite style of music is jazz. I love jazz. But I even without that, I do think that it's one of the most universal like language music. It's something that brings a lot of people together. Most anybody can get into. And good on you guys for adding a little bit to it. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm curious, Tyler, are you in the band? Are you part of the band?
Yes, so I am the non-commissioned officer in charge of the band, and I also play the drums.
Right on, right on. What got you playing drums? Have you been playing it since you were a kid? Did you get started young?
Got started pretty young. I showed up at home one day, and there happened to be kind of a cheap drum set in one of our guest rooms. And come to find out at that moment that my dad used to play in his youth professionally, kind of doing a lot of freelancing work, playing for hotels when that was more popular to have a steady gig doing that in the 60s and 70s. And he started to teach me drums. I thought it was very interesting, and I also was taking a little bit of piano lessons at the time. So just starting to get into music at the age of 9. And then pretty soon after that, joining kind of like a middle school band, falling in love with all of that kind of stuff, continuing to play drum set, getting into marching bands. And then eventually at some point in high school, I heard of the concept of someone being a music major. And I had no idea that that was a career profession that you could directly pursue in that way. So I ended up getting my undergrad and master's degree in music performance. And then shortly after that, landing this job with the Air Force. We have competitive auditions whenever we have openings across our bands, and people send in tapes and then fly out to a live round if they're selected, and have this competitive audition process. And if you are selected, then you are then given a form to take to your recruiter, to go to basic training, go through the whole bit, but knowing that your full-time job will be playing music on behalf of the military band.
It's quite interesting. And I'm curious. So, Tyler, I mentioned I have a couple of family members that are currently serving and have served. And my cousin, I remember, he's currently enlisted and out there doing great work. When he was debating about, he wanted to join the service, but he wanted to talk about it with my grandfather, who was a Marine, and some others. And I happened to be a part of the conversation. A lot came up, and we talked about a lot of different things, the pluses and minuses. And certainly, he ended up obviously joining. But one thing that never came up, getting the play, he played an instrument, and getting to maybe play that instrument as a part of the military. I can't imagine when you signed up for this that this was something that you thought of going into your service, or was a part of your service, or why you joined.
So actually, for us, at least in the Air Force, this whole process kind of starts before you actually sign up. Mm-hmm. So when we go to basic training, they may ask some people for the purpose of having a band flight if you've played, you know, band in high school or something like that. And they'll use that for ceremonies during basic training, but those aren't necessarily the people that are used for it to be their AFSC or Air Force specialty code, their full-time job and purpose in the Air Force to play music once they graduate basic military training. So, like I was saying before, we kind of put out flyers, advertise with musicians unions, all the standard ways that people would maybe come to know about a, say, an orchestra vacancy or something. And people then apply for these jobs before ever necessarily even meeting with a recruiter. And it's only upon when they are selected and guaranteed the job that they will then meet with a recruiter and join the military. So I actually heard about it from someone else in the band, came and did a master class while I was in college, talking about the opportunities of the Air Force band and the type of stuff that we do. And I just found that to be a very interesting way of going about a music career, and allowed me to serve my country, you know, with my current skill set that I had. And it sounded very enticing to be able to travel the world, play all these different styles of music that we're expected to play, anything from rock, pop, classical, jazz. Our people do it all, very well-versed musicians that we are fortunate to work with, and just seemed like an opportunity. So fortunately, I was selected and went through basic training and did the whole thing.
And I really appreciate that breakdown, Tyler, not only because I find it interesting, and I think the audience will certainly the audience will find it interesting. But as we're talking about this here, we're also, you know, always looking to do a little recruiting and looking to, you know, people out there who may have a similar background that you do, or similar music tastes and love music, but all love their country as well, would like to combine those worlds. It's always good to know. We'll give you information on how to find out more before we wrap up today. But I do want to talk about this great series of concerts that Shades of Blue, the Jazz Ensemble, is going to be bringing to this center, to our area here in central Wisconsin. Let's get into this, and keep in mind, everybody, these are free shows. These are free shows. You can reserve tickets if you'd like. Tickets are required, but these are, all concerts are free and open to the public. You're going to be on Saturday, November 9th at 7 o'clock at Wausau East High School Auditorium in Wausau, I see there. Sunday, November 10th at the Michael Hall at UW. And you UW Stevens Point at the Noah Fine Arts Center over there in Stevens Point at 3 o'clock on Sunday, November 10th. And then Monday, November 11th, 7:30, Green Hill Center of the Arts. You'll be in Whitewater for that one. And then wrapping up Wednesday, November 13th, 7 o'clock at Sun Prairie East Performing Arts Center in beautiful Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. You guys are going to be coming through here and making sure that we hear you. We're going to have plenty of opportunities to hear you guys.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm excited. We actually have an alumni in our band from University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, one of our trombone players, so I'm super excited to hear the feedback at that location in particular.
Yeah, that's got to be amazing to be able to come back to your home state and perform. That has to feel pretty good, I imagine. And I want to talk a little bit about those band members and what it takes to do this, because, you know, you don't have to be a musical, you know, to be in a band or anything like that, or maybe you had a band in high school like a lot of us, to know that it takes rehearsing. You got to practice to be able to get these things right. You got to practice to be able to put on these shows. But with your commitments to the Air Force and everything, how often are you guys able to rehearse?
So our schedules are actually pretty busy, be it local base support for various events, funerals, going on tour, that sort of thing. Schedules are pretty packed. So for any given engagement, like this tour, for example, we'll rehearse maybe 4 or 5 days and then go on the road for maybe a week or so at a time. But then, you know, we're off doing something else as soon as we get back. Mm-hmm. Got to rehearse for that, new set of music, new style of music. So the turnover is pretty quick, but we all have a pretty extensive professional background in music, so everything comes together fairly quickly during rehearsal, which is good.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, time is of the essence kind of thing, but it's still, you know, very impressive to me, to the audience out there, that you guys are able to pull this off with the, even if you had whatever a normal rehearsal routine is, even if you had that going into this, considering all the things on your collective plates, it's very impressive, and we greatly appreciate it, and really appreciate you joining us. We have Technical Sergeant Tyler Kennemeyer joining us right now, U.S. Air Force band we're talking about, in the great series of shows that they're going to be bringing here to Central Wisconsin. And while you guys are going to get to perform for a really good crowd here in Wisconsin, we love our music, we're going to give you a good show. The band itself has gotten to perform for some very impressive people over the years. If we could just kind of, as we're getting ready to wrap up here, touch on a little bit of the people that I see in this right, that the band has performed, had the distinction of performing for Pope John Paul II before, and Presidents George W. Bush and William Clinton and George Bush Jr. and Sr. got both of them in.
Yes, sir. I mean, we're playing for, you know, distinguished people all the time, very high vis situations, depending on what it is. I myself, I've been in for about 9 years now, been fortunate enough to play for several presidents, lots of kind of NFL, NBA type games. Just anything and everything, big events, important people, it's a very great way to serve my country.
Yeah, I can't imagine how humbling and how good it must feel. Is there anyone that stands out for you in the time you've been doing this that really, I'm sure all of these are impactful and meaningful. Is there any one or two in particular that stand out for you?
It was actually a small concert that we had at the General of Space Command at the time's home. They were hosting the, I forget his name, but the National Security Secretary of Japan. They were visiting Colorado when I was stationed out there. And we just played a small concert for him and his entourage, kind of doing some selections from their pop world as well as jazz. And it was my first time really getting to play for foreign delegates and kind of make that connection on behalf of the Air Force. And it was just very impactful, and they were just so appreciative. I think it's really awesome to see when music truly transcends those language barriers and makes that cultural impact.
That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that, man. And I couldn't agree more. It's one of the things that we promote around here and we talk about highly, especially in a time where we're looking to bring people together more and more. Food, music, these are things that bring people together all the time. And we're going to be coming together for this great series of shows. As we're wrapping up, Tyler, I touched on this a little bit earlier. We understand as citizens, we're thankful to everything for our military and appreciative, especially of these above and beyond things that come from our military and how much it means to us. But could you, if you can even put into words or try to put into words, what this means for you to not just represent your country, not just do something that you are passionate about, but to be able to entertain people, to be able to give people another angle, another side to our military and our service workers?
Well, I feel it's really important to see our military members as more than just the uniform itself. And I hope that we can do that in some small part by connecting with these audiences, having them share their stories with us. I always love hearing stories of people that have served or answering questions of, you know, perhaps students that are curious to join. It's just really nice to get out, meet with a community and make that connection beyond the uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, well said, and appreciate that, Tyler. Again, our Shades of Blue, our fantastic U.S. Air Force band is going to be coming right here to Central Wisconsin. They have a show Saturday, November 9th at 7 o'clock at the Wausau East High School Auditorium, then Sunday, November 10th at 3 o'clock at the Mitchell Eason Hall at UW-Stevens Point at their Fine Arts Center. Monday, November 11th, 7:30 at Green Hill Center of the Arts right over there in Whitewater. And on Wednesday, November 13th, 7 o'clock, the Sun Prairie East Performing Art Center in beautiful Sun Prairie. If people want tickets, they want to reserve tickets or get tickets, how can they do that, Tyler?
So you could go to our website we have set up for this, and that is afbandtix.com. Again, that is afbandtix.com. And you should be able to reserve a ticket at any of these upcoming venues, perhaps even see some of our other upcoming schedules. I know some form or fashion of one of our ensembles is up in Wisconsin quite a bit. So,
yeah,
keep a lookout.
Encourage you to support that, everybody, and go to that website again and get those tickets, and we will meet you there. Looking forward to it. Safe travels to you and the band, Tyler. Thank you so much, not only for your service, but certainly for joining us today. I appreciate the time. You have a good one out there and have a good run.
Thank you, sir. You too.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. You may have noticed the warm temperatures when you stepped outside this morning. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Most of the state just went through 24 hours of record-breaking warmth. This morning, record warm overnight lows were felt across Wisconsin. Many left the house with no coat, which is a rarity for the end of October. At 6 a.m., temperatures statewide were in the upper 60s to low 70s. The entire state can now display 2024 as the warmest October 30th morning ever. It blew the old records out of the water by 5 to 10 degrees in some spots. This after record high temperatures were reached statewide on Tuesday as we spiked into the low 80s. But of course, there was a good base to jump off of, as Tuesday morning's lows were also making history warmth. Now, a potent cold front approaches, which will drag temperatures down a good 30 degrees or more. And with such a sharp difference ahead, expect storms to spark up tonight. Some could even be severe, especially in the southwest. The system will bring much-needed rain, heavy at times, especially into areas of central Wisconsin, where 2 inches of rain isn't out of the question. That could create some flooding. Meanwhile, northwest parts of the state are prepping for a wintry mix overnight and potentially snow flying across many northern counties throughout Halloween. Kids dressing up or trick-or-treating can expect blustery, colder winds whipping and temperatures crashing bone-chilling at night. In fact, the entire state falls below freezing overnight and remains seasonal and much cooler to close the week.
Gamers are gearing up to raise money for kids at Marshfield Children's Hospital. Saturday, November 2nd is game day when gamers will fundraise for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Thousands of gamers will hop online for 25 hours of nonstop gaming, with all proceeds going to the Children's Hospital of the streamer's choice. You can find out more at extra-life.org. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Need more Nick Offerman in your TV viewing life? Yes, please. Variety reports Nick will join Elle Fanning and Michelle Pfeiffer in the new Apple TV show, Margo's Got Money Troubles. Fanning plays a woman desperate for money who starts an OnlyFans site. Been there. Offerman plays her father, a retired pro wrestler, and Pfeiffer plays her mother, a Hooters waitress. The show is based on the Ruth Thorpe novel of the same name that was just recently released. The first season will offer 8 episodes. In a recent interview with the Associated Press, Hugh Grant says he killed 3 people. Of course, he did so, whimsically, and with that adorable accent and toothy grin. Grant is trying to get people's attention to go see his new movie, Heretic, in which he plays a creepy character named Mr. Reed. Grant appears to be moving on from his rom-com roles and looking for darker parts. I'm not saying the 64-year-old actor actually killed 3 people, but saying you did so in an effort to promote a movie really is the perfect cover. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, cloudy with showers, even a few rumbles of thunder. Breezy. Temps fall through the 50s overnight, settling into the 40s tomorrow afternoon. Mostly sunny and a high in the upper 40s Friday to the mid-50s Saturday. Chance of rain late Saturday night and Sunday. Currently at 75 degrees.
Tune in to WFHR on Thursday, October 31st from 4 to 6 p.m. for a special Halloween broadcast featuring the entire radio station staff. Get ready for trick-or-treating by listening to spooky stories and creepy poems performed by your favorite on-air hosts, along with seasonal music to get you in the mood for a frightfully fun evening. It's 2 hours of hair-raising hijinks and ghoulish glee from 4 to 6 p.m. on Halloween night, only on 97.5 FM WFHR.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, we'll hear from our friends at Motherhood for Good. They've spent months introducing us to women ready to lead. Now they offer some final words to moms about voting.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, October 30th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. Joining us right now, our good friend, Wood County Clerk Trent Miner in studio. Trent, good to see you.
Nice seeing you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time, as always. Know how busy you are, especially this time of year. So thank you so much for being able to join us today. We're going to go through kind of a checklist, if you will, about voting, what you need to know, what you should have in place before November 5th. But before we do that and get into absentee balloting and some other notes, we did want to start somewhere at a really important place here, Trent.
Yeah, recently, when I started working elections, it was 30-some years ago, and the county clerk at the time was Tony Roush. Tony recently passed away at the age of 97, and really, Wood County owes him a huge debt of gratitude for the systems that he was very forward-thinking when it came to elections. The systems we have in place now are really thanks to Tony, and then my predecessor, Cindy Sipras, and myself, we just keep adding to it and making it better. So our condolences to his family and his wonderful wife. But yeah, Tony really, he's missing it. I know he is, but he's watching from upstairs and making sure we're doing everything right. So we miss him.
We appreciate him, appreciate his service to our community and the work that he put in. A trailblazer.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, he just loved, he breathed local government. I mean, he was Town of Siegel chairman for a number of years, town clerk. He was on the county board for 13 years and then was county clerk for 19. I mean, the guy just bled local stuff. And I always went to Tony whenever I need something historical answered. Yeah, he's my man. And there's actually one time this past week when it's like, oh, I wonder what that is, you know, who this was and what. Just about reached for the email because Tony would check his iPad religiously. I reached for the email. It's like, oh, doggone it. The email isn't going to make it there this time. So, yeah, we miss him.
We appreciate everything he did, the work that he did to where we can get to the place we are now with
this.
Where I've never... So I come from a very political family, especially growing up in Chicago, where politics, you know about that, like you know your sports teams.
Yeah.
And certainly have been voting since I was 18 and a proud member of the proud ability of being able to do that. I've never felt more confident going into an election when it comes to my vote. I've never not felt confident about it, I should say. But with all the talk of this that you and I don't shy away from or anything, and everybody knows what I'm referring to there, with all that out there, that has put such a microscope on so much of our election process, which in some ways I'm proud of and I'm thankful for, because I don't mind checks and balances anymore. I'm sure that you don't or anybody does in this process. So it's never a bad idea to do that, and I think that there's been some things that have been brought up and that have done that have enhanced the process and as far as the trust and the strength we feel in this. But I also feel this way because I trust my community. I trust my neighbors. I trust the people in my community. I trust the people in the surrounding communities. I don't necessarily, we don't all play for the or want for the same sports team to win or something like that, or come from the same high schools or some of those things. But at the end of the day, I trust that my fellow citizens, my fellow Americans, we're all on the same page when it comes to democracy. We all believe in a democracy, in living in a democracy.
Exactly. And just the changes, like I mentioned, I've been doing this for a number of years. The changes that have come through just in my career in working in elections, it doesn't seem that long, and I don't think it is. You know, it's 30-some years. But, I mean, look at the changes that have come into place. I mean, photo ID and all these different checks and balances that were not there when I started. We literally had a poll book that we... you didn't have to register in the smaller townships. You know, you just, the neighbor showed up and you had an old poll book and you wrote down their name, you wrote down their address and, how you doing? And you had no idea if they moved or if they didn't move. They didn't have to register or anything like that. So those checks and balances, while, yes, they're good things to make sure that everything is on the up and up, are good things that have happened over the past 30 years to enhance that level of comfort for everybody. Absolutely.
Trent, let's get into a bit of a checklist, if you will, of things that people should know going into the election on November 5th. There's certainly one of the number one things we like to bring up, and we bring up on our morning shows all the time, making sure that you're registered.
Absolutely. Making sure you're registered. If you're not registered, you can do so on Election Day. Plan on a little bit of a wait, but you can certainly do that. Make sure you're bringing along proof of residency, such as your driver's license if it has your current address, or a utility bill, those types of things, making sure that we have that proof of residency. Also, photo ID. This isn't a new thing anymore. Bring a driver's license or passport along so that we see that it's you as you, so to speak. Make sure you have that with you as well. The lines shouldn't be just all that horrible around Wisconsin Rapids. We've seen, you know, we're in the middle of in-person absentee voting right now, and that has just been phenomenally busy the past week and a half, to where, like, in the town of Grand Rapids, I just ran the report this morning, over 40% of their registered voters have voted already absentee.
Wow.
That's just a lot of people coming through the doors. So those people aren't going to be there on Election Day. So I'm not anticipating huge long lines on Election Day because we've had that in-person absentee voting and the mail-in absentee voting going on already.
And we'll get back to the checklist in a second, but you bring that up, and I think that's a great point to branch off of from that, because we hear a lot about in-person absentee voting, and I don't feel like we talk on the positives of it nearly enough. We have it for a reason. When we're able, there's many people out there, especially in an election like this, that well before there were any debates or anything like that, people had their minds made up. So if that is the case, and you are informed and you are registered, why not be able to get that vote in before November 5th? Certainly, to be able to, you know, you never know what can come up, and I don't have to go down the rabbit hole of that.
Right.
But also for our election workers, for our staff, we don't get reminded of this nearly enough. I don't even know, I don't want to say the percentage, but there is a wild amount of the percentage of people that are working on Election Day are volunteers. And we want to get them back to their lives. We want to be able to get this democracy running and get this process done right, but we want to be able to, you know, we appreciate their time. I've got a daughter who is going to be up in Point doing this. She's 8 months pregnant, and she's still going to be out there doing this.
Oh, bless her heart.
I want her to get home at a good time, you know, and obviously I'm being a little selfish about this, but in all seriousness, we want our citizens to be able to get home. We want people to get results as fast as possible. All of these things, in-person absentee balloting is one of the major positives to it, is that it helps with this process.
And absolutely. And the same checks and balances that we have on Election Day are there during in-person absentee voting. You're still stating your name. You're still stating your address. And this is all open to the public to watch this whole process. You want to sit in City Hall or Town of Grand Rapids Hall all day and watch the process, you're more than welcome to. It's very much like a mini Election Day. You're showing that photo ID, stating your name and address, and then taking your ballot. And instead of putting it in the machine, you're going to put it in an envelope. You're going to sign it, and your witness is going to sign it that you, and you're the one that filled out the ballot. And then those don't get open until Election Day. So that's a little bit different in Wisconsin than other areas. Those absentee votes do not get processed until Election Day. They're going to sit in the safe at the clerk's office, and then they will process those between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. on Election Day. So our election workers are still, you know, it's either on the front half or the back half, but we still need as many election workers as we have, because either they're dealing with people that are coming in the door on Election Day, or they're going to be processing those absentee ballots. It's going to be a busy day. 80-90% turnout is well within the realm of probability. It's going to happen. I would anticipate going over the 90% in Wood County. We usually do.
That's a great note to everybody, whether you're an election worker or you're going out there and voting on November 5th. We've seen in the last couple of elections record results of people coming out and voting. Mm-hmm. Something to keep in mind with that.
Yes.
Getting back to the checklist, we mentioned making sure that you're registered to vote. You can do that at myvotewi.gov. That is certainly a great resource. You can find that through the Civic Media website, if not through that website in itself. Making sure you're registered, I would say certainly understanding what is on the ballot. That is probably one of the next steps to do.
Absolutely. And My Vote is the premium website in the nation for finding that information out. Literally, you put your name and birthday in there or your address, and you're going to know what's on your ballot. Understand that this ballot that you're going to be looking at is a two-sided ballot. We have some referendum questions from the state and various local governments and school districts on there. So you're going to see a list of candidates candidates on the front side of the ballot. On the back side, you're going to see those referendum questions. So be mindful of that. Your election workers will be telling you about that. Being prepared, knowing what you're doing. Registration, again, you can check that on MyVote, but call your municipal clerk or even the county clerk. We'd be happy to look it up in the system and, hey, are you registered in Wisconsin Rapids? Nope, your previous address? Okay, these are the steps you're going to need to take before Election Day to make sure you get registered.
Trent, I'm wondering, do you mind if we discuss what is going to be on the ballot outside of certainly the candidates and everything, the referendums, if you will?
Sure. The referendums on the backside. There is a state question on this election ballot, and I'm not going to get into yes, no, or otherwise. That's for you guys to decide and do your homework on, but it has to do with citizens voting in elections. Should only U.S. citizens vote? That's on the ballot. A couple of school districts are going for revenue limits. City of Marshfield, or Marshfield School District, is going for a pretty good sized general obligation note to update their schools. Pittsville School District's going for some additional funding over their revenue limits. And then we see a lot. I mean, I think it was at City of Wisconsin Rapids certainly has their ATV ordinance that's coming up. That's a big one out there, whether or not you want the city streets opened up to UTV, ATV traffic. That's going to be a big draw too. We're seeing a lot in the smaller townships, and this is the method they have to go through, of making their clerk and or treasurer positions either elected or appointed. In order to make them go from elected to appointed, that has to be a referendum. And I think I've got six municipalities who really struggle and try to find people to run for public office, to do that public service. They struggle to find people to run. So the ability to be able to appoint allows them a bigger pool of candidates. You can go outside the municipality to find those, but we're seeing a lot of municipalities go in that direction. And five or six referendums on this ballot alone in those municipalities.
Thank you for that, Trent. Appreciate the breakdown. And you can certainly look more into those and find out what's on your ballot, specifically the details more of that at myvote.wi.gov. There's a great section of, hey, what's on my ballot? And you can just type in your address and it'll pop right up for you. I tried it out this morning. I've done it before. Yeah. It just couldn't be an easier website to maneuver and work and find out that information.
Very much so. Yeah, it's a great website. Has added benefits and features. You could actually register online. We're past that date now. You have no choice but to register in the clerk's office up until this Friday or at the polls on Election Day. But that My Vote throughout the year is a great website to take a look at anything election related.
We're speaking with Wood County Clerk Trent Miner. And Trent, kind of wrapping up the checklist, if you will, I would say that one of the things that I've heard recommended before is a reminder about, Election Day. I think that sounds a little crazy to you and I. Like, how could you forget? Of course, this is a Super Bowl for some of us and everything. But when it comes to how crazy and busy life can get, and while you can make plans for November 5th, as my Nana would like to remind everybody, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. you just never know what's going to happen.
Right.
That, of course, certainly absentee balloting, in-person balloting, and some of that comes into play with that. But also the idea of have a plan in place, maybe have a reminder set up, if you will, but maybe have a backup plan as well. And maybe it may seem, well, it's Election Day. I'll be fine. I'll have plenty of time. The polls are open all day and everything. This is too important to leave up to chance. This is too important to leave up to just having one plan. Just my opinion. I think it's good to have a plan B, maybe even a plan C on that one.
Absolutely. Have a plan. But understand there are state statutes that will guide that plan as well. In-person absentee voting in the city or in some of our big municipalities, that will end on Friday. In our smaller areas, if there's appointments that you can make with your town clerks that don't have regular office hours, that can go up through Sunday. But understand that after Sunday, Monday, nothing happens. I mean, and that's by design. Everybody's getting ready. Our people, the municipal clerks, poll workers, they're getting the polling place set up. We're getting ready for go time on Tuesday. So Monday, nothing happens. So have a plan, but understand there are state statutes and there are there are laws that will dictate when we can do things and when not. So, yeah, like you said, have a plan, understand what the laws are, and if you have any questions, give your municipal clerk a call or give my office a call, and we'll help you through that.
When it comes to mail-in voting, Trent, when is the cutoff, if you will, for that? And I know there's not – can't be an exact date with our mail system, but I would say a ballpark on
well,
that.
Well, and the mail system, so the last day to request a mail-in ballot is Thursday at 5 p.m. That's the last point that a regular voter can do that. That's too late. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
not going to make it through the mail system. So really, if you're out there now and you're thinking about voting absentee, I would highly recommend the in-person absentee, because the mail system, the way it is, and I'm not faulting the Postal Service or the employees at all, but it's just not going to make it back. It's not going to make it to you. You're not going to be able to vote it and then get it back to the municipal clerk's office by Election Day. So in-person absentee voting is really good. If you do want it mailed to you, you may want to have a plan to return it to the polling place on Election Day. That's certainly an option out there, but understand that it has to be the voter returning it. I mean, your husband isn't going to be able to the husband is not going to be able to take the wife's ballot back, or stupid husbands aren't going to be able to give it to their wife and say, here, take care of this, and send that back to them. No, it does have to be the voter, unless there is a reason that they are not able to, such as handicap or something like that. So just keep that thought process in mind as you make your plans going forward.
And I want also people to keep in mind a couple of other things. One, Trent touched on this earlier. If you have questions, if you are uncertain about things, come on down. Come on down and check this out. This is a transparent situation.
Oh, absolutely.
It couldn't be more transparent. If you are wondering, well, it's this side or that side, we got people on all sides of the aisle being a part of this. Representative Krug joins us once a month, and Scott has been talking a lot about this process and mm-hmm. how encouraged, how much he's actually enjoyed seeing this process and everything, and been blown away by all the workers, all these volunteers, and everything that goes into this. This is something that you can trust in. This is something that you can believe in. Not only do I put my name on that, but others in this community, other leaders in this community do. And trust your community. Believe in your community. And if you have questions, that's cool. Come on down. Show up. And to extension of that, if you really have curiosity, I say be a part of things. Volunteer.
Absolutely. And I've said that to more than one person. You distrust the process, then I want to see your backside in a seat. Get in the chair. Work this thing, and then you can see that process inside and out. So, and we're always looking for poll workers, whether or not you get to work on a certain election you want to, up in the air. But certainly we're always looking for poll workers. So, absolutely. It is completely transparent. And I'll tell you, when we go through, like, county clerk training, now county clerks are political office. We run under mm-hmm. a party. We're on the ballot this month or this in this election. But when we get into those trainings, there is no politics. I mean, we're there to learn and understand and learn from each other. I know every county clerk in the state. I know all 72 of them now because of the position I'm in as president of the association. But they are principled people. They want to do what's right. We're looking for the laws to, we're looking at the laws to understand those and to make sure that this process runs as smoothly and transparently as possible. So I trust every one of the county clerks. I trust every county in the state that we're going to pull off an outstanding election.
Yeah.
And it's going to be close. There's no question it's going to be close.
Mm-hmm.
My concern now is, how close is it going to be, and am I going to be eating turkey in the courthouse on Thanksgiving because we might be in the middle of a recount? So that's a consideration post-election.
We'll make sure that you got plenty of sides if that happens. You and everybody over there. Trent, as we're wrapping up, you touched on this. You mentioned a little bit. If people would like to be a part of, volunteer, help mm-hmm. out in any way they can. We're still looking for all hands on deck. How can people find out and be a part of things?
Through their municipal clerk. And if you don't know who that is, give my office a call at 715-421-8460. And my staff and myself will make sure you understand, know who your municipal clerk is. But even if you can't work it, observe it. If there's a question, we have observer stations set up at every municipal or every polling place in the county, in the state. So come and just witness that process. Be kind, be nice, don't be disruptive, but get your questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
And as they have time, everybody out there is more than happy to talk elections with you and discuss the process.
And you you teed me up perfectly, because that's where I wanted to wrap up, and being kind to each other. To your fellow citizens, when you're standing in line or you're waiting to go vote, to the workers, the poll workers, and the different people that are there, treating them with respect and everything, and treating the process with some respect. Mm-hmm. Don't let it be lost on any one of us how lucky and how fortunate we are to live in this country, to live in a democracy, to have options, to have being able to choose between these things, being able to do these things willingly. For one, we are not forced to vote. Our vote counts. We're able to vote. There are so many things that around the world, you don't have to look very far, around the world, they don't have a lot of this stuff. We're able to do this, and we're able to do it because we do this together. We are stronger and better together. Treat each other with respect. We have this happen all the time. You walk past somebody and they've got an opposite sports team jersey on or something like that. You don't get out. You just keep walking. You just keep walking. That's all you got to do in this situation. Just keep kill them with kindness. Treat each other with respect. Kill each other with kindness in that way.
At Lambeau Field, you see those, the opposing team will come in. And what respect that the Green Bay Packer fans will show those people is something that the other side comments on all the time. You see that, yep, in the news media all the time, how, yeah, wonderful the Green Bay Packer fans are. So, and again, it's a great country where we can disagree, but not be disagreeable about it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this nation great.
We've got the whole world watching us and waiting to see how this happens. And so many of them are sitting back eating their popcorn, waiting for an explosion or something like that. Let's show them what we really are made of. Let's show them how well we can pull off a democracy and be what this is all about. Be a light to the rest of the world, and that democracy can work in other world, in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world that it may not have it. Be good to each other out there. And let's have a good election.
I'm looking forward to it. You hear about the security concerns, and and I try not to listen to the news because I need to deal with just what I'm dealing with.
Yes.
And you listen to the news, and that's just not something I'm expecting here in Wood County. I mean, we're blessed here in this area that our poll workers and our municipal clerks are all on. We just want a good election, a good, clean, transparent election. That's all we're after, regardless of what side you're on.
You can find out more at myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. And again, if you're on the Civic Media website, you can find a link right there to it. Trent, if people do have follow-up questions or want to volunteer or know more, how can they reach you and your staff?
Yeah, give me a call at our office at 715-421-8460, and we will get you all the information that we can get you.
Cannot thank you enough for the time, and certainly Trent, on a personal level, I always love talking with you. Appreciate that brain of yours and all the work you put into this community. Thank you for that. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You and your staff, I wish you guys a good November 5th, a good election.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 97.5 WFHR and the Civic Media app. Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 910 AM WBZH and the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the state of the race in Wisconsin? Ben Wickler will be here. J.R. Radcliffe to talk all things sports. We wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
With hey, makeup. Do I rate?
You absolutely... I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
CBS.